started again. That was good stuff, Dan. Cool stories. I say this all the time, but I know that some people will think, well, you know, that's just ridiculous stuff. You know, you can't really have real, a lot of intelligence. So that's why I always like having Dan around, because he actually is, by degree, a rocket scientist. And so you can be smart and be childlike too, can't you, Dan? Unless we become like little children, huh? But again, they go with me. We go all over the country and all over the world. And so the people that go with us and our teams are pretty amazing. But I have a real passion in my heart. I don't know how we're all going to make it work, but is to take more people with us to Brazil and to take more people, a lot more people, to Africa. And because in what time I have left, I want to see people enter in. And it's a lot easier to see and enter in than just hear about. You can go for it, but when you go on those trips and you go into a place where the field's wide open to harvest, it's not that way yet in America or in the West. But when you go and you just see a harvest, man, you just take out the sickle, it just encourages you to realize what normal, what more normal looks like, because it's more normal. What we have here is not more normal. It's abnormal. And it just encourages you to go for it. And so be praying. Our tentative schedule is to go back to Brazil in September. And we're still waiting about the Africa thing. We think it'll be in April sometime. And we're going to go to, if we go to Africa, we're going to go to Mwanza, Tanzania, or Tanzania, whichever one you want to use term. And we're going to probably do like a 3-day conference with the clergy. That's the most effective thing we can do. And just teach them about life in Christ, the life that Christ lives. Then do some training. Dan and Deborah will do some training, like a half a day or so, or a day, about how to pray for the sick. And then we'll go out and do what we do. And we'll have them with us, train, helping us, so that they're praying for people and they're getting their people praying for people. Because what we want to do is not just go do stuff, but infect people, to get them infected with what is normal Christianity and this expression of the fullness of Christ, so that they can, we leave, things don't stop, they continue and grow. And so if you want to go on some of these trips, just let Karen know. And I'll be telling this. There'll be a limit. We got to figure out what that limit's going to be. The more people go, the more logistics are difficult. But this trip that we just did, including your ticket, you didn't have to spend more than maybe $1,200 or $1,300, which is amazing. And a lot of ministries, you go on those trips, it'll cost you $4,000 to do Brazil. And it costs about that much, $3,500, $3,000 to $3,500 to go to Africa, usually. This one won't be as bad. Well, no, because we got to do a flight once we get in. So, but it's worth it. Africa's awesome, but Brazil's really cool too. So, Karen, come on. She wants to share something with you.
I just wanted to share something real quick. I went to Brazil with Bishop and the team. There were seven of us, and it's the first time that I've gone on a team trip with Bishop. I've gone individually and with one other person on international mission trips, but not a whole team. So, and we also have this long line of people. So the first night I'm in Brazil on this team trip needing a translator, I don't have a translator to pray. My very first night, there's this long line of people. The ushers are trying to send them in. So I'm praying for person after person. They speak Portuguese. I speak English. So I have no idea what their prayer request is, and they have no idea what I'm praying. It actually, in hindsight, was very freeing. I prayed for them, and I prayed quicker than anybody else on the team. So I know I prayed for more people than anybody else on the team. So when Bishop said, okay, raise your hands if you've been healed at some level, whether it's emotional, physical, whatever, and three-fourths of the room, we don't even know if we prayed for the whole room, but three-fourths of the room raises their hands that they were touched. I said, I know I prayed for some of those people. They didn't know what I prayed. I didn't know what their need was, but God touched them. Talk about just suiting up and showing up. That was it.
Yeah. We always get them at the end. We'll ask the question, if you've been healed, either physically or emotionally, then do you like this? And so a bunch of them did, but a lot of them in that section where Karen was at. So I know so many of those people got healed and didn't have a clue what she was praying. She didn't have a clue what she was praying about. But they got healed. And so it's just being available. It's not your ability, it's your availability, right? You've heard that before. Your capacity is measured by His ability. Like Dan, I love what they said. You just got to show up. And I think that's true in everyday life. I would say to you, every day, you just learn to look for opportunities to pray for people. I tell people, if they even look sick, anything that moves, that looks like they don't feel good, why don't you ask if you can pray for them? So, well, I've prayed for a few people, everybody's gotten healed. Well, go pray for 200 people, and then come back and tell me if anybody got healed. Because it's going to take one, and you'll be hooked forever to realize that you too can steward that part of the fullness of Christ. So here's what we're going to do. We're not really going to have time to play, because I want you to be able to go home and get some rest, go back to your room, whatever. We'll play a long time tomorrow. We'll get to do some tonight and tomorrow night. Let me just share a couple of practical things to you. We did this some last year, but it's one of those things that need to be reinforced too. And that is that, let me just read this to you. Dan, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual, and the word gifts is in italics because it's not supposed to be there. Now just concerning spiritual things, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now this is really important because this is the context. What does it take for you to be used by God in the gifts of the Spirit? That you believe Jesus is Lord and you say it. That's it. You're kidding me. Don't have to go to some Bethel conference or some, I get hit on the floor and I got some amazing story. No. It says if you can't say Jesus is Lord unless you're not of Him, and that's all it takes. Because the very next thing He talks about the gifts. Really? Really? Moving in the miraculous for dummies. That's what this conference is. Alrighty? So look what he says. Do you see that? Do you understand what I just said? Why would he say it any other way? If you can't say Jesus is Lord, God can't use you. But if you can say Jesus is Lord, God will use you. And he says, and now there are a variety of gifts. Now that word gifts is actually there. And it's just the word graces. Oh, isn't that the word? Women used to call it gracelets. But it's just grace. And God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to all of you. So you got all that grace in you. He said, so now there are a variety of grace, all grace. And you're going to see there's the grace to speak words of knowledge. There's the grace of hospitality. There's the grace of healings. The graces of healings. There's the grace of prophecy. Those are all just grace. And you have all grace. See, if you have all grace, it means that you believe and have said that Jesus is Lord. It's all it takes. It's all it takes. It's all it takes. There are a variety of graces, but it's the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries. That's the word we get deacon from. It means to serve tables. There are a variety of graces, and there are a variety of opportunities. Different kind of context. Might be in a grocery store context, or on a traveling thing context, or down the street context, or in your church context. There's a variety of ministries, variety of opportunities, variety of ways to wait on tables, to serve people. Lot different kinds of grace, different kinds of opportunities. And then he goes on, he says, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of effects. It may look different ways. Don't put God in a box. That's the word energies. Energeo. It may look like this. Somebody may shake. Somebody may not do anything. The first person I ever saw get healed of blindness. Wood was with me on a trip to Kenya. And I think I've told this story, but we prayed for this Maasai warrior, and they're very stoic. Not a warrior. He was an elder. He was in his 70s. And he'd gone into the medical thing because he had a cold or infection. But when he came out, he had two friends who brought him, really tall guy. And he was blind. And so we started, I just had a real sense God was going to heal him. So Wood was with me. And so I'm praying for him to be healed. And so afterwards, the Lord said, ask him if he can see your fingers. So I said, can you see my fingers? Now, he could speak English. He only spoke not Swahili, but Maasai, whatever it's called. I can understand. Maasai, yeah. Yeah, Maasai. You sound like a sheep back there, Ron. Ba, 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 ba. Maasai. Whatever Ron said. And so I asked him, I said, can you see my fingers? And he said, yes, the translator. And I said, well, how many fingers am I holding up? And he said, two. I thought, oh, well, I mean, he can see. He just can't see good. I remember Jesus prayed for people. They could see through. That one guy could see like people like trees walking. And so I did it again. I said, how many fingers can I? And he said, two. And I thought, man, we should have gotten better clarity after that second prayer. And we prayed for him again. I said, how many fingers can you see? He said, two. And he looks over at me and goes, one, two. And I said to him, you're healed. He never smiled the whole time he was there. His neighbors were flipping out. But he looked at me and he just said, thank you. Never smiled. Just said, thank you. Shook my hand and left. Different kinds of effects. There are different graces. There are different contexts. And there are different ways it looks. Somebody might fall out on the floor. It may be all kinds of stuff. Sometimes God says, shake the baby. But it's just going to look different. So you can't put God in a box. And then he says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. You can trust for the common good. Whatever he's doing, trust he's doing for the common good. When we were there, we prayed for people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit at Trinity Cathedral. There was 1,100 people or so in that building at that time. And a bunch of people got baptized in the Spirit and began to pray in tongues. And we had two situations where there were two different ladies that were beginning to act different. One of them was, I knew what was happening is that she was getting set free from some stuff. But this was kind of new to these folks. And what was important was that somebody was able to go think, this is for the common good. Now steward it. This is where government, this is where having real authority does make a difference. And I was able to say to some people, she's okay. She's getting set free. Just go over and stand with her. And she was a little noisy. Didn't kill anybody. And she got okay and she was so free. This lady up in the balcony, though, it was some demonic stuff. And it wasn't the time to deal with it. And I said, somebody just go over there. And so they did. And they went over and just kind of laid hands on her and it calmed down. But I was good for him, too. Would have been bad for him if he didn't know how to steward it. That's where charismatics get in trouble. They just want everything to be okay. Let it all go. And nobody wants... You can do two things terribly. You can over-police what God wants to do and let nothing happen because you're afraid of the poop. Or you can let the poop go so much that you're kind of like the poop becomes a story. You don't have to be afraid. You know, you can, like we've said before, you can't have a harvest in the field without an ox in the stall. And if you got ox in the stall, you got poop on the floor. We do much more damage. I've had clergy speak to me, well, but I had this thing happen one time years ago, and this person gave this word, and it wasn't accurate, that this person was not going to die, and this person died, and the people just got hurt, and I'm just never going to let that happen again. You know, really? Well, a lot more people have been hurt because you wouldn't let God move than some who might get hurt because you got messed up a little bit. That's the truth. And so the Lord just does the stuff that he does, but it's all grace. And so let me just share with you really quick about words of knowledge. There are ways words of knowledge come. I love when people write all these different categories, but in my own personal experience, here's the ways that words of knowledge come. One, you just think. It can just be a very obscure, subtle thought. But by faith, you got to go for it. Like, left eye, or whatever. And the things about words of knowledge is that when they're accurate, it builds up the faith, not only the person who's hearing it, but if you're in a group, everybody. And it also builds yours up. There's a word of knowledge, and then they get healed. Words of knowledge you can feel. Like if it's common for you to have pain in your left elbow, God's probably not going to speak to you about people's left elbow. That's your issues. But if you never have those issues and you're in a ministry opportunity and your left elbow hurts, stop and go, is there someone here who has a left elbow problem? And what happens if nobody responds? So, John chapter 5 talks about the fact Jesus said, if you're worried about the glory of men, you won't walk in faith. But if what you're concerned about is receiving glory from God, that's what it says, not giving God glory, but receiving, God praising you and blessing you, he says, then you'll walk in faith, because all you're concerned about is, Lord, I went for it for your glory, and even if it looks like I failed, you're going to hear God say, well done. That's really good. You hear me? But if you're concerned about people giving you glory, you're going to be scared to death to mess up because you don't want to look bad. Because even if you look bad, it's you that look bad, not him. And if you're living for his glory, then it doesn't matter whether you look bad or not. Eventually, you will look bad. All of you. I've been around many of you, and I can tell you that's a fact. And so there's things you can feel in your body. Also, you can get dreams the night before about somebody and God can show you. But the common is you see things. And that's where I get words. I hear things, but also see things. And you can see things like a limb or an eye or something over, and then you just speak that out. Or just in your mind's eye, it's really a form of a vision. Or you can see something like written words over a person's head. Or over a section. I just believe God's moving the section. I just see this thing. And I do sometimes. I'll just see like a pointing here. Sometimes I'll see angels. They'll be standing over a person in the cake. And then you may see something about the person. There's just something about them that reminds you of something. It may remind you of somebody else. That's very common. And there's things about that person you think, this is a word for you. Now, that's prophetic words can work that way, too. But it's not real complicated. And like I said on this trip, we were praying for so many people individually. We were getting through after 11 o'clock every night. And they were wanting to have hospitality. We'd get back, and they'd give us cheese about 11:45 or 12, and then 45 minutes give us a big dinner. We were having them go to bed. And I thought, we finally, the last two nights, we said, no, we can't eat anything after 11:30 at night. No, because besides the food, that you'd get to the place and have a hospitality room with food. You're supposed to eat before you minister and then eat again afterwards. And there was things like homemade soups and quiche and sandwiches and desserts. And you just come to a place, you go, I can't eat any more food. You're killing us with kindness. So we had to start doing things like words of knowledge. There was one example would be in a general session is that I had a word that there was somebody here who, a woman, who sometime in the last few years, whose relationship with a man, I think I may have even said husband, who walked out on you and it devastated your life, and they had a red shirt on when it happened. And somebody said, yeah, and God just touched and changed their lives. One, my favorite one, is there's somebody here who was in an accident, and sometime in the past, that was recent past, and you're having real issues with your hips, being stiff, and they've never gotten right. And there was a silver car involved. And there was a lady right to my left who could actually speak English, stood up, and she's like shaking and weeping. And I said, it's you. She said, I can't believe what God's doing in my life. Because you're also suffering from like post-traumatic depression. And God healed her of her depression, healed her hips. And that was a result of a word of knowledge. Now, I'm going to give you some etiquette. If you see something over a person, you go to the person, don't go up to them and say, God is showing me that you wada yada yada. Show a little more humility. Have you, by any chance, been having some issues with whatever. And if they go, no, say, oh, okay. And if they go, well, yeah, I have. I said, well, would you mind if I pray for you? Because I think God wants to heal you. That's just walking in maturity. You with me? You just can't be a bull in a china shop, and hurting people are a china shop. And one of the things I've discovered is that what we use, and we use the word boldness or confidence, but it's just sin. It's just insensitivity. Just show kindness to somebody and be humble enough to realize you might miss it. Right? One of the things that'll set you up for not looking like such an idiot if you did miss him. Is it possible that you've been, or is it possible there's this thing going on? Now, one of the things we see here at our noon service, people ask me about miracles. We see miracles happen every day. If nothing, if just prophetic words and words of knowledge, we see only God could do it every single day. That's just a common thing. But that's the way words of knowledge come. So we'll give you a chance probably tonight, tomorrow, to move in some words of knowledge. It could be a scene like that accident with the silver car. You see a scene. Or it could just be you see something over a person or you see something on them. A number of times we'd give words of knowledge and we'd say like knees. That was a big thing I did. And you'd have a gazillion people stand up with knees. But I would see something on certain people. There was just something on them. There was just faith on them that was really so strong. And I was able to say, God's already healing you. And they would get healed before anybody could touch them. We saw a lot of sovereign healings that way. Okay? And so again, you ask the question, well, why don't we see it more here? We're the same people here who go on these trips as we were there. And if you get in your mindset, you think, well, Africans, they're so poor and fairly illiterate and they just agree with you about everything. We do all we can to double check, make sure. One of the ways you can always tell if they're in pain, they get healed. It just like there's this smile that breaks over their face, and you just ask them questions, you ask them again. But in Brazil, they look a lot like you. Except many of them have a lot more money than you have. They're highly educated. They're most, not all, but there's a large portion of their Portuguese heritage. They look like Europeans. And so you're not speaking to people. So you can't use that as an excuse. Well, they're just so simple in Africa. They don't know any better. They'll say yes to anything. No, it's just God and doing it. And so why does it happen here? Well, a lot of it's about the environment, spiritual environment. You've all heard me talk about that. Jesus is going to do a few small miracles in his own hometown, remember? And we'll talk about that some tomorrow night. But that's what we're restfully contending for, is that, and God has a lot to do with that, creating an environment where there's a people who are desperate for him. One of the things the Lord's going to do is set Christians free from thinking that they'll just elect the right person, everything's going to be fine. Let me just say this to you. It's too late for that. It's too late for that. People who are conservative love Ronald Reagan. He appointed three Supreme Court justices who said they were pro-life, promised him to his face they were pro-life. And two of them, maybe all three, have voted pro-choice from the day they were put in office. He thought, Christians thought, that had the world changed, that abortion would be done with. And it wasn't. It's going to take a revival in the church to change this country. And when you go to Africa and you go to Brazil, the atmosphere is combustible. And that's a good word. Wouldn't you think, Tuck? Its atmosphere is combustible. It's not hard to walk in faith because everybody's just anticipating God doing something. It's not true in America. Now, what I'm fighting for is that we can have that Selma. Let's narrow this down. Let's like make the battle a little easier to beat defeat in Selma or in these four walls or whatever. But we've got a ways to go there yet. But we're going to keep going. And every time something happens, it does create a little more space. It's like when you pray for somebody, they get healed, a little more combustive atmosphere gets a little bit there. You know, and then more and more, and that's how it happens. But we'll give you a chance to go for it in words of knowledge and just go for it and not be afraid to fall. I've missed it a bunch of times. But I got... But I I received the greatest reward of all. God was pleased with me because I was going for it in love. And then you just keep doing, you learn, right? And that's some practical stuff about words of knowledge. When you pray for people, ask them what's wrong. Ask them when it started. Ask them if there's any circumstances that were going on when it happened. They may say, yeah, my husband left me then. I started having these pain. Or, you know, yeah, I was in an accident or whatever. Because if there's a traumatic situation that happened, usually there's a demonic thing involved too. And so you want to invite Jesus to come in and heal the emotional pain, take authority over the spirit of affliction or fear or whatever. And then as you pray for them, whether they had a traumatic thing or not, if they're in pain, so it's something you can trace. You can measure what's going on. You simply pray for them, and then after a few minutes, after a little bit, you go, so how are you? Is there any change? And they go, it's better, so let's do it again. Now, sometimes you have time restraints. Then they go, better, and you go, it's not all the way, no, but you got 5,000 people in the line in front of you. One of the things we did, I would cut up little pieces of cloth. I had them stuffed in my pocket. And if we prayed for people and they weren't 100% healed yet, or there'd been no change, I'd take a piece of cloth, an oil, in the light of Acts 19, and I'd say, here, you know, place this on that area every day and pray. Because we've seen real consequences of that. It's biblical. But again, ask them so that you can gauge what's happening. And if they say, yeah, I'm better, then you keep praying. If you have time, until they say they're well, well, the Holy Spirit just says, stop. Okay? And I would encourage you, you know, if you want to cut up some pieces of material, we'll be glad to anoint them with oil for you. And you just carry them around. Just a little bit of oil. It's not going to make ruin anything. Just stick them in your pocket or your purse or whatever. And the people you pray for and you're not sure everything's done, just leave it with them. It's biblical. And as weird as this sounds, those are two of the things that you have to learn to pray for people, and it doesn't get much deeper than that. Words of knowledge, how they come. Pray for people and talk to them while you're praying for them. And just see how they say. And so many times, most vast majority of time, we'd go, how's it? It's all gone. Or it's better. Let's pray again. Is it better? The guy who prayed for in Brazil, the guy with AIDS who was blind and he left seeing, I must have prayed for him 7 or 8 times in the same setting. Are you better? I can see better. Are you better? And he kept saying, I can see better. I can see better. I can see better. Now, his other friends around him who had AIDS also were crying. I didn't know he had AIDS. I knew something was wrong with him. All of them, they seemed weak and fragile. They just had this weird look on them. And the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me they have AIDS. And I never saw them again the rest of the week because they just came in off the streets. And he got healed, never came back. And the Lord said, I told you the guy had AIDS. And they all left crying because he left seeing. But I had to pray for him a bunch of times. We just did it that way because, you know, and so and he said, oh, I can bet it's better, it's better, it's better. And this is what Randy Clark, one of the things he's taught me, was that if you pray for people and your time is running, they can say they're 80% better. Almost 100% of the time, they're going to go ahead and get all the way healed within the next 24 hours. Okay? Well, that's it. Go get some sleep. I'm going to not go get some sleep. So get ready for the night. Alrighty? Been good? It's been fun, huh? Amen. Learning some good stuff. I love what Craig did this morning. I love what Dan and Deborah did. And you have some good contrast in the morning because, like I told Blue Jean Sunday, Mark Waters is like Alan Yarborough. He's kind of like Jimi Hendrix on steroids. We're kind of like James Taylor on Quaaludes. So if you're a rock and roller and not easy listener, we'll give you a couple hours tomorrow morning to rock and roll. Alrighty? With Mark.